Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? It's a great, beautiful, wonderful Sunday. I'm glad that you're here. If you're a guest here, thank you so much for coming. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor, and I just want to welcome you in the middle of our construction mess, but it is an awesome mess, isn't it? Excited about what's to come. If you are a guest, we'd love for you to just take a moment and in the seat back in front of you, grab a connection card, fill it out. Let us know that you were here. You can put it in the offering as it passes by at the end of service. And we will also send you something really, really cool in the mail. And so that's a good thing because it's delicious, just saying. Just so y'all know, services have been great, I think. Yes? Yeah. They've been fun. They've been a lot of fun. And, you know, we exist to reach people and build lives, and we are making a place for those who aren't here yet. If you noticed on the front of the building, it says room to reach, because that's why we're in construction, and it's steadily making progress. Really excited about the end product. But we exist for those who aren't here yet. But they're coming, and you got to know that. They're coming, and it's exciting. And, like, honestly, it's just an honor to be a part of a church that does so much for so many in our community. You know, we put out 158 kids that were to be sponsored last week, and all of them were out. We ran out. It's awesome. So we have a bunch more up this week. We'll sponsor about 230 kids that are probably not going to have a Christmas if we don't help them to have a Christmas. And we just want to show God's love to them. And so you get to be a part of that. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Also, this Christmas, our services are going to be really special. They're going to be really good. I'm excited about that. But there are three service times: 9:30. Everybody say 9:30. 11. And 12:30. So invite people, bring people. I'm just telling you, I just honestly believe that we're going to have a massive Christmas service, and that we're going to see people really encounter the love and the goodness of God and have hope for their lives, because we exist to reach people and build lives on the truth that God knows them and loves them, has a plan for them. Invite folks. In fact, there's an invite card in the seat back in front of you that you can invite people with. And I also want you to know, on the way out, you can go to the Welcome Center and you can pick up a pay it forward card. It just says something extra to show that God loves you. And you can pay for the people behind you in line at, I don't know, McDonald's, Starbucks, apparently any place very unhealthy. You can pay for theirs and then give that to the cashier and say, hey, just give this to them. And it just shows them, hey, God loves you. And it's got a purpose and a plan. It has Christmas Eve service times on that. In fact, we had a family, somebody text them and said, hey, they were friends with him, and said, hey, I think somebody from your church, they just cut in line in front of me at the grocery store, and they paid for all of my groceries. And I know because I got this card. Isn't that cool? Let me tell you, big impact, cool stuff. 2018 is coming. We're growing, we're going. I haven't mentioned this before from the platform, but it looks like in January we'll be going to three services full time, so just get ready for that, which would be the same times as Christmas, so you'll hear more about that. But also, we're excited that Born for This is our campaign for the new year, and my passion is to see people plug into their purpose, and you can't do that outside of God. And listen, life doesn't happen in a church in rows. Like, Sunday morning's great and all, but that's not the life of the church. The life of the church takes place in groups, where we get together in circles and we do life together, and we're a life-giving entity to our community. So I'm always going to push you into small groups, because that's where life transformation takes place. It's scriptural as well. In James chapter 5, it talks about that. But get into groups, and I'm going to ask everybody to be in a group. And if you've never hosted a group before, you can sign up now to host a group. Super simple. We make it very easy. It's a lot of fun. Get plugged in with that. Y'all ready for today? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a great day, a gorgeous day. I just pray just your blessing on this time that we hear from you. Father, I pray that your voice just speaks to us, and we recognize that you've got a purpose and a plan and a future for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we talked about the making of a miracle. And this week we're talking about a miracle in the making. And the two messages really have everything to do with expectation. And my heart is that we are a church that has a spirit of expectation on us. What does that look like practically? That means that we expect for God to show up. We expect for God to do big things. That we just live in the place of expectation, because in the place of expectation is life and hope. At least in God, expectations and high expectations. Y'all know anybody with some high expectations? Sometimes kind of crazy. Y'all know old Boudreaux and Thibodeau, right? Oh, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, you know, it's Christmas time, and so Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they took a job early in the mornings running crawfish traps because they needed to make some extra money for Christmas. And so Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they're going out to the boat, and they're going to be running those traps together. And Boudreaux says, man, I'm already, you know, I saved up already, and I'm making my money back because, you know, I got Marie, man, I got her Christmas present, and let me tell you, she got high expectations. And old Thibodeau looks at him and says, well, what'd you get her? I know that she's been wanting that Mercedes, right? He's like, no. He's like, I got her a diamond ring. Thibodeau says, but man, she won a Mercedes. She's been talking all the time about that new Mercedes. And Boudreaux looks back at him and says, man, yeah, but where am I going to get a fake Mercedes? Sometimes things don't work out like we expect, right? Well, how about Friday morning? Did anybody expect that? We're talking about miracles around Christmas time. Come on, was that awesome? How many of y'all played in the snow even though you're old? Come on, raise your hands. I did. It was awesome. And y'all didn't know it, but there was a COTK snowman competition. I know, I'm sorry, you didn't know, but I'm gonna show you the winner. You ready? Show that. That's my boy. I didn't make that, but my boys did, and they had to use like plywood ramps to make. Isn't that the biggest? That's a 7 foot tall almost. Isn't that cool? It was a Christmas miracle. It looks just like Frosty, too. I was proud of him. I don't know if that little guy in the middle, he's like, I'm not sure about this. Now, I'm excited for what's to come, and I pray that you are, because the root of all God expectation, it's hearing his voice, believing him, and then acting on it. That's the root. That's expectation. We have a spirit of expectation. We hear God's voice. We believe it. And we walk it out. God is a giver of dreams. Everybody here, God's got a dream for you. And I would say that a lot of you have probably, you've probably had a dream. And it's probably a God dream. Have you let it drop? Because God dreams can be a little on the wild side. We're gonna start by looking all the way back in the Old Testament, way before we see Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the story of Christmas, because God is a giver of dreams. It started all the way in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and God had a dream, but Adam and Eve messed it up. Anybody here ever mucked up God's dreams? Let me tell you, you don't have to worry if you've done that, because God's dreams are still alive. We see even in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1-3, we see this. It says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you and make you famous. You'll be a blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And look at this last sentence. It's so important. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Because I want you to get this, that God's dreams and God's blessings are always going to be a blessing to those around us. I want you to get that. You know, so often that we think that the dreams of God are just, they're too far out there, or it's not really gonna happen, or we make them focused on us. But let me tell you, when we listen to God's voice and we hear his voice, the miraculous takes place if we step out in faith and trust him. It can be hard though, because sometimes it seems like the dreams are never really gonna show up. Because that promise that we saw in Genesis chapter 12 about Abram being a father and a blessing to the whole world. And God showed him, took him outside and had him look up at the stars and said, look at the stars. How many do you see? He said, I can't count them all. There's so many. That's how many descendants you're gonna have. Look at the sand all around you. Like, that's how many descendants you're gonna have, as many as the grains of sand. And yet Abram was an old man. God shows up and it takes longer than you'd ever think sometimes. You know, a few weeks ago in our student ministry, we had one of our leaders who actually is in the worship team, he shared the dream that God had given him, like really a dream, that he and his wife were going to have a child, and they'd been trying for a long time, years in fact, and that God was gonna give him a child. And so he woke up from the dream just like so excited and so pumped, and didn't even tell his wife anything because they'd been trying for so long. And he thought, just for sure, hey, in another month or so, we're just going to know that, man, God showed up. And that dream that God gave him, you know, it was month, that next month, nothing, month by month by month by month, for 2 years before the dream of God was answered. But it was indeed answered, and they have an amazing family now. Let me just remind you of something. God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. His promises are faithful. They are true. God will do what he says he'll do, but God's in no rush. We seem like oftentimes we are because we want what God has for us right now, right? We're like a microwave society. Like, I want it right now. I have a friend that for years he didn't have a microwave, and I always kind of was like, man, that's kind of neat. You don't have a microwave. Well, what do? I got a toaster oven. You got a toaster oven. It takes a lot longer, but in the end, it's always a lot better. You ever found that sometimes it's worth the wait? If you got something that's worth the wait for, let me just remind you that God's stuff is always worth the wait. A miracle in the making. Sometimes that miracle is in the making for years and years. So I want us to look at the story of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Because the miracle in the making can take a little while. Miracle in the making. Look at Luke 1, 28. It says, Gabriel appeared and said to her, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. And we went over this last week. The angel of God, Gabriel, shows up and says, God's with you, confused and disturbed. Now remember, she's being told the dream of God here. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you found favor with God. You'll conceive and you'll give birth to a son and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Boy, let's just pause right there for a moment. The angel shows up. She's kind of freaking out, like, what's going on? And then the angel proceeds to tell her that she is going to give birth to the Messiah. She's going to give birth to the Messiah. Look at the next verse, verse 33. Is that it? No. It says, but how, then Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I am a virgin. And this is really a good statement because the angel says, you're going to have a baby. And she's saying, time out. I'm a little confused. I'm a little disturbed. How can this happen? Because clearly I cannot have children. Here's the first point that I want you to get in the making of a miracle. You may be in the middle of a miracle in the making. Do you hear me? You may be in the middle of a miracle in the making, but you've got to know this. Here's the first thing, that if you're in the middle of a miracle in the making, it takes you out of your comfort zone. God is not really concerned with your comfort. He's concerned with your obedience because your obedience outside of the realm of your own comfort will lead to the place of your own personal transformation. But even more than that, the transformation that God has in store for you is not even really about you because Mary is just a small player in a really big picture. It'll take you outside of your comfort zone. Mary was far outside of her comfort zone because an angel shows up and says, hey, here's the dream of God for you. It's awesome. You get to give birth to the Messiah. Oh, that's really great, angel person guy. I appreciate that, but there's a problem. You see, A, I'm not married. B, I'm not married. Like, you know what I'm saying, angel? Like, what are you talking about? The angel says, don't worry about it. Holy Spirit's gonna come on you. You're gonna have a baby, and it's not gonna be any person on this earth. It's gonna be the Spirit of God that has made you pregnant. That's kind of crazy. Imagine having to explain that to somebody. No, really, really, it was immaculate conception. It was like supernatural. I'm pregnant and it's God. Because that's crazy, isn't it? Like we go, oh, Mary, Mother of God, the Lord is with you. We know, like we honor and revere as we should. Mary was favored. God found favor with her. She's not, we shouldn't deify her, but she was favored by God. And when God shows up to see the miraculous take place in her life, she has a tough time explaining that to the people around her because she has to tell them, it was God? That's not normally how that happens. Just saying that this... It can take you outside of your comfort zone. And how do we know that she had trouble explaining that to the people around her? Because so often in the Christmas story, we focus on Mary, and it was pretty amazing. Mary was a favored and an amazing woman with God, after God's own heart. I mean, she loved the Lord, obviously. But we don't think oftentimes about that conversation that took place between Mary and Joseph. Because it was, I'm quite sure, a very awkward and difficult conversation. Well, wait a minute, we're engaged. What's happened here? What's that? Are you like you've been eating too much? You've been eating too much pecan pie, Mary? Because like something's going on here. What's happening? What's going on? No, it's not. It's not. Nope, it's God. It's God. And we know Joseph had an issue with this because it's in Scripture. Look at Matthew 1, 18 and 19, because so often we look at the taking outside of the comfort zone, like God's taking us outside of our comfort zone. Look at Joseph. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. So they're engaged. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiance, was a, everybody say this, good man. Joseph was what? What was he? He was a good man, and he didn't want to disgrace her publicly because she was pregnant. They were just engaged. They weren't married, and the penalty at that time for her being pregnant outside of marriage was for her, it was death, and for him, it was death as well. But he's a good man. He doesn't want to disgrace her or see her murdered, so instead of that, he decides to dump her. He decided to break the engagement quietly. This is what Joseph is dumping Mary. You don't hear that very often, do you? But it's exactly what the Bible tells us he was doing. He's like, you know what? This whole God made you pregnant thing, like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that. And in fact, like, hey, Mary, we're done. But he did it really quietly. You know, like probably just sent a text. You know, it's like, hey, like, all right, Mary, look, I know that you are pregnant for somebody else. God. Funny emoji, but I don't think this is gonna work out. Send, block, the end. He's a good man. He doesn't want to disgrace her, so he breaks it up. We're breaking up. We're done. Sometimes you're gonna have to decide. You're gonna have to make a decision when there's a God moment in your life. Here it is. You're gonna have this choice. You'll have the choice to either quit or continue. This right here, this quit or continue, right there, the quit or continue. This takes so many people out from experiencing the supernatural and the miraculous hand of God in their life because it's so uncomfortable, so outside of the ordinary that it freaks them out. And instead of continuing, they just choose to quit because they're worried, what are people going to say? People are going to think I'm nuts. Well, this doesn't look like how I thought it was going to look. Let me just remind you that God is outside of our thinking. God actually speaks to us, and he says in the Bible, your ways, they're not my ways. Your thoughts, they're not my thoughts. And God is completely outside of time. So when it takes forever or it happens like that, oftentimes like, whoa, what's going on here? This has taken like 30 years. From the time that Jesus was born until the time he started his ministry was how many years? 30. Don't let the unexpected and the thing that takes you out of your comfort zone bring you to the place where you quit on the dream of God in your life. And so many people quit on the dream of God in their life, but I'm calling you to continue because that's what God's called each of us. And my prayer for you today is that if there's been a dream that God's placed in your heart, if there's been something that you go, man, if that would ever happen, that would be miraculous, that you don't give up on that because it's not what you expected. It's not what you thought. You don't quit, you continue. Because when you step out and you content, you have a heart for God to do the right thing because Joseph was a good man. It wasn't the end of the story. Even though at this point he's like, peace out, I'm done. This is craziness. My fiance is pregnant by God. That's nuts. You know what? I didn't know she was psychotic when I met her. Thought she was pretty nice. But like, we're just gonna go ahead and end this real quietly and nice. And like, you go do your thing because obviously you're crazy. Sometimes we do the same thing. But God is faithful. And if we have a heart for him, Joseph obviously wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want her to die. I'm pretty sure he didn't want to die. He wanted to do what was right. And God honored that. And look how he honored it. Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. As he considered this, as he considered what? As he considered breaking up with Mary, he's bringing that to consideration. He's thinking, am I going to continue or am I going to quit? And he's thinking, I'm going to quit. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So now there's a secondary giving of the dream. It wasn't even, he's not even the primary guy. This was about Mary and Jesus, but Joseph is the one that's like, I don't know if I can handle this. I think I'm gonna have to quit. And God shows up, the Lord, an angel of the Lord appeared, said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I just really believe that some of you here today, you need a second giving of the promise and the miracle that God has in store for you, because you're at the place where you're considering quitting. Some of you may have already quit, but I'm just praying that you get to the place where you're continuing, because you recognize that even though God in his ways sometimes may come across as crazy and definitely contrary to what culture may say, he never contradicts his word, and he is faithful and true to do what he says he will do. Don't get to the place where you quit, because God, I really believe, is calling some of you to continue today. My heart for you is that you know that there's a miracle in the making. Just because it doesn't look like you thought it might look, just because it's taken you to a place where you're like, I'm a little confused, I'm a little disturbed, I'm thinking about calling it quits, I'm considering that. Don't give into that. God's got a miracle for you if you trust him. And I'm just going to pray today and really believe that God's going to show up and speak to some of you a second time. And maybe he's going to bring a confirmation to the people around you that already thought that you were kind of crazy and didn't want to distance themselves from you. And then he's going to show them, no, this is a word for me. How do we know that we're in the middle of a miracle that's in the making? Because we want it to be like I Dream of Jeannie. Y'all remember that? Come on, TV land. Ding-ding. New car. Ding-ding. New house. Ding-ding. Nice wife. You know, I mean, some of y'all do that. I know, because you come to my office and you sit across from me on the sofa and you go, ding, and it just doesn't work. Because not all miracles happen like that. The making of a miracle. Well, maybe you're in a miracle that's in the making. You got to know, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Here's the second thing. It's bigger than you. It's way bigger than you, way bigger than you. We hate that and we love it at the same time, because if it's bigger than us, it's got to be God. Because God's, if it's something that you can do, it's something that you can conjure up, it's something that you can execute on, why does God need to be there? Because he's given you the power to do it. But God's miracles are always bigger than you, and they intimidate you because of that bigness. Let's just be honest. Has anybody here been intimidated by the bigness of God at any point in their life? Like, God, how am I going to do that? There's no possible way. That should be a comforting factor. And here's how you're going to know if you're perhaps in the middle of a miracle in the making. It takes you out of your comfort zone. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. And I love, so the angel, so Joseph is thinking to himself, I got to end this thing quickly and quietly, because I don't know that I can believe her. And then the angel shows up and speaks to him. No, she's telling the truth. And then the angel continues on in verses 22 and 23. And speaks to Joseph, and this is what the angel says to Joseph. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. And look at the next verse. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. So it's being grounded with scripture. The angel is speaking scripture that Joseph would have known, and reminding him of the promise that God had. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means they're going to call him Emmanuel. What does this mean? Come on, say it with me. God is with us. The angel speaks to Joseph and reminds him, hey, buddy, it's not about you. It's bigger than you. The angel confirms with scripture, hey, this is what is already written. Don't be hating on Mary, because it happened to her. She's the one that's been chosen to carry the Messiah, and I'm backing it up with scripture, but I want you to know that it's not about you, because it's God, not with you, with what? With who? With us. What's the whole point of Jesus coming? It wasn't so Joseph and Mary had a cool story to tell people of how God showed up in their life. They are minor players in a much bigger picture. And let me remind you that God has a place of promise for you, just like he did for Abraham, just like he did for Joseph, just like he did for Mary and for Joseph. He had a place, and there was a picture that they got to be in one frame, but it was one frame in a bigger movie of a God story that transforms the world. God is with us. God is with me, but the story that he weaves is always bigger than me. But sometimes we never get to see the God story to completion, because we're failing to continue, because we choose to quit, because it's uncomfortable. Don't do that. God's story is always bigger than you. Always. If you can do it, it's probably not a God story. Because God's going to call you to do something bigger than you can do yourself. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." What does that mean? That means God's dreams for us are so big that we don't even think them. We can't even think them. I imagine that it probably caught both Mary and Joseph by surprise that an angel showed up and spoke to them. What do you think? I'm as surprised as you that I'm a pastor. Some of you were like, yeah, I don't know either. I don't know either. Because it's bigger than me. What's the story that God's weaving in your life? It may not be a pastor, but it may be something that is seated inside of you, that he's called you. If I could just help people who have no home, if I could that's bigger than you, because the problem of homelessness is way larger than any individual here can accomplish on their own. But perhaps God's put a dream in your heart to help those people that's bigger than you. Maybe it's going to take you to a place that you're uncomfortable with, that you drive through town and you go, look, lock the door. But God, maybe he's put that there. I know we had, 20 some odd people sign up for prison ministry last week. We had, I think, 21 people sign up for prison ministry. And I'm looking through the names and I'm going, wow, that's interesting, because one of them was my mom. And I'm thinking, my mom is like, I haven't even seen her tattoos. I don't know, like, but she's got one now, so it's okay. No, not really. Maybe it'll take you outside of your comfort zone. What is it that God's speaking to you? Trust him, because it's bigger than you. It's probably going to be outside of the scope of what you even thought, but God will drop that dream in your heart and he'll speak to you. Well, how do I know it's God? How do I know it's not the devil? Like, maybe it's the devil that wants you to go and help people who are homeless and show God's love. No, I don't know. But it's a legitimate question. How do we hear the voice of God? How do we know? How do we know, like, Lord, this was your voice? Well, here's how. When that dream comes to us and there's something that God speaks to us in our heart, how do we know? How do we know the voice of God? Here it is. Just simple. This is just some basics. Here's the first one. Number one, it's the witness of the Holy Spirit. When we surrender our life to Christ, Ephesians tells us that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that there's a sealing, that the Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of us. And when whether we're listening to something, whether we're reading something, whatever it is that we're doing, when God speaks to us, maybe we're praying or worshiping, and there's that dream that drops inside of us. There's like this confirmation thing, almost, I don't even know how to describe it, because I'm trying to articulate a spiritual principle, but there's this thing on the inside, this tink, like you can just know, wait a minute, that's not from me, and it's good, and it's God. How do we know the voice of God? There's a witness on the inside, that witness of the Holy Spirit. There's that spiritual thing that you go, tink. It's like something almost grabs your heart and you just know, this is a God deal. But that's not the final word. How else? How would you know? I thought about this and then it was like, that thing just like dropped inside of me. And I'm like, maybe this is a God deal. Well, here would be your next step. Here's the second thing. How do I know the voice of God? I want to just make this very practical. The first is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Like, I can't shake this thing outside of me. I feel like it's a God deal. It's a good thing every time I think on it. I mean, I know it's huge and big and I could see how I should be afraid, but like, I feel like maybe this is just a God deal. And I think like maybe there's faith being built there. Well, the second is the word of God. How do you know it's the voice of God? There's a witness inside, but it's confirmed. Listen to me carefully. It's confirmed by the word of God. You see, God's spoken to us already. Oftentimes, what does God say on that matter? You know, perhaps you should grab a Bible, start reading, start looking, because God's already written a letter to us. And people go, I just want to know what the will of God is. Start reading the Bible. Get into Scripture. Listen, you can get the YouVersion app, and you can listen to it while you drive, running it, if you have the Bluetooth thing, running it through your speakers on your vehicle, or you can plug some headphones in, and you can listen. Get a Bible. Get a paper Bible. I'm a paper guy. I like paper. So I have a variety of translations that I'll read from, New American Standard, New King James, ESV, NLT, and I'll read the Bible, because when God's spoken to me and there's that ding, that thing on the inside, that witness of the Holy Spirit, I want to make sure that there's confirmation in his word so that I don't go crazy. Because the enemy, when God speaks, if you think that he's the only one who's a speaker, he's not, because the enemy will be there to bring confusion, to bring something that disturbs you, to sow seeds of doubt. But when you hear from God and there's that witness and it's confirmed in scripture, and I'm just saying for me personally, I like three confirmations. I'm like, God, I want to know scripture three times. Where are you confirming this thing? You know, for us, for the final confirmation in planning the church, it was Isaiah 58:12, which was, those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You'll raise up the age-old foundation. You'll be a restorer of the streets in which to dwell. And just was confirming for us, that's what God's called us to. And so we stepped out in faith. Man, how do we know the voice of God? Witness of the Holy Spirit, the word of God. And here's the third thing. The wisdom of godly counsel. The wisdom of godly counsel. Before we ever decided to step out and leave our comfort and our home and everything we knew and loved in Lafayette, we had many people as confirming voices in our life, all that were from a biblical perspective and godly people who loved him and loved us. How do we know the voice of God? It's going to resonate inside of us. It's going to be confirmed in scripture. And then there's going to be people who love the Lord, who have a track record of godliness and maturity, and they'll confirm it as well. Why am I taking time in a message on miracles? And maybe you're in the middle of a miracle in the making. Because yes, it's gonna take you out of your comfort zone. Yes, it's gonna be bigger than you, but it's not about you. It's about God and others. And you need both God and his word and other people in your life to confirm that. Some of the wackiest people I've ever met are like, I got a word from God and I think I got scripture, but everybody in their life around them is going, hey man, that's really kind of wacky and crazy. Like, I know that you think that Jesus is gonna come back December 27th on 2017, but like the Bible very clearly said, yeah, but you don't know, I heard from the Lord. Okay, you're a fool. I want you to have a dream from God that's been confirmed by his word. And godly people who know you and love you and hear from God themselves, they're going, you know what? I'm not gonna hear God on whether this is him, but I can confirm that it lines up with scripture. And when I'm praying, I sense that would be a wise course of action, biblically and practically speaking. Am I making sense here? Let me just say that, man, my heart is for you to hear the voice of God. Maybe he's spoken to you 25 years ago. Maybe he's spoken to you 23 years ago. Maybe it's 17 years ago, or maybe it's 7 minutes ago. That you know what God's calling you to, because there's that inner resonance of the witness of the Holy Spirit, the scripture that God's spoken to you in confirmation, and then you have people around you that you know, love, and trust, and know and love you, and they're speaking God's truth and his word to you. Why? Because God is with us. And every miracle of God is bigger than you. We're just small bit players in a much bigger picture that God has for us. Joseph and Mary were just small bit players in the bigger picture of God's greatest miracle. And you know what God's greatest miracle was? Redemption. That we can be clean from the junk of this world. We can be forgiven for the sins that we've committed. We can have the freedom to forgive others who have done the same to us. And man, my heart is that you get it, that you get, man, maybe I'm in the middle of a miracle in the making. It's just taking some time. You'll never get to that place of promise, though, unless you're willing to step out into that which is uncomfortable, until you recognize that it's bigger than you. And here's the third thing, that you know that miracle in the making is activated by faith. It's activated by faith. It's activated by faith. What does that mean? That means it's not simply something that you say you believe, it's something that you actually believe. And the way that you know that you actually believe something are the words that come out of your mouth and the actions that you partake in. Because if you truly have faith, you're going to speak words of life and you're going to act in a way that proves to everyone around you and to you that you believe that something is a reality before it's ever a reality. Let me just say that the reason that people think that Christians are crazy is not because we have faith. It's because we say that we do and then we act contrary to it. Because we say, God, I believe that you're going to turn everything around for good. And then we harp on those who have hurt us and we act in unforgiveness and we hold people to account for something they probably don't even know that they did. And then the world looks at us and goes, wait, you have faith? Because faith, you know, we know what Hebrews says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the assurance of things not seen. And so we're supposed to live in a reality that just hasn't happened yet. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it's true, because when we can get to the place where we say, God, I believe that what you say about me, that you're going to transform me, that Lord, that I'm going to be like you, Jesus, that I'm Matthew, that Mark 16, that some of the stuff that we look at there and go, I'm going to be able to do that. I'm going to pray for people and they're going to get healed. We're going to see like miracles take place. Like we say that we believe that, but the fact is that oftentimes our reality doesn't match up with the reality that God's called us to, because we're living in the reality of this world rather than in the kingdom of God. Does this make sense? Y'all following me here? And so if we want to see the dream of God and the miracle of God take place in our life, we have to realize it's going to be activated by faith. And there's two aspects of that I want to hit very quickly. The first one is this, it's words. Words. Luke 6:45 says, from an overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. Now that's very convicting to somebody who can talk a lot. I grew up being told over and over, it wasn't Bible, but it's close. It was Benjamin Franklin with a take on the Bible. It's better to remain quiet and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And how many times have I been made a fool because of the stupid things that I've said? In fact, Proverbs 18:20 says this. It says, with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Well, sometimes the product of our lips doesn't bring satisfaction. It brings dissatisfaction, because we live in the land of the negative. We live in the land of complaining. I'm just preaching to myself this morning. I've been there before, haven't you? How is it that we're going to say, well, I'm going to believe you, God, for a miracle, but we're unwilling to thank him from the place where we are, knowing that it's not the place that we're always going to be if we trust him? And instead, we complain about where we are, and we speak negatively about where we are because, and here it is, because our focus is on where we are. But the promises of God, if we truly have faith, are always going to be focused on where God's bringing us next. It's not that our focus isn't on where we are. It's where we are with the understanding of where he's bringing us. Am I making sense here, guys? Man, so my heart for you is that we trust God, and we have true faith. Christians are crazy. No, they think we're crazy because we say we believe, we don't live it out. And if we actually lived it out and we lived in a reality that was yet to come, now I'm not talking being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but just having that inner sense of, I know what God's gonna do. I say it all the time, the best is yet to come. It is. You can fake words though. You can fake them. Oh, the best is yet to come. Pfft, I'd love to see that happen. That's going to have to be a miracle. That's going to have to be God. Oh. If our words aren't lining up with Scripture, it's not Scripture that's wrong. It's us. Man, my prayer is that we get it. We get it. I love what Mary, after the angel explained everything, because at first she goes, wait a minute, I'm confused, I'm disturbed, I don't see how this thing's gonna happen, and then the angel explains everything to her. Well, it's not about you, God's gonna show up, you're gonna give birth to the Messiah. And look at her response in Luke 1:38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. But I love Joseph's response. Words, and here's the second one, deeds. You know, Joseph's planning on putting Mary away. He says, we're gonna break up, we're gonna be done. And then the angel shows up and reminds him that, hey, it's bigger than you, and then shows him that Mary's not crazy, this really is from God. And look at his response in Matthew 1:24 and 25. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. He acted. Faith always steps out in action and always speaks words of life. If you're going around speaking words of death and negativity, stop. If you're going around saying that you have faith, and let me tell you, you can fake faith. You can fake both the words and the actions, but God knows our heart, because faith is a spiritual principle that only manifests in the natural, but you can fake the natural if you're good or bad, depending on how you want to define that. May we have true faith, and our faith be greater than the fear of the unknown, the fear of something uncomfortable, the fear of something that's really huge. Remember that the miracles of God are activated and sustained, and you can write that into your notes, activated and sustained by faith. Faith overcomes fear about three things. We're going to go through these quickly. You can fill them in. Faith overcomes fear about people's perception. When God showed up and the angel spoke to Mary and Joseph, they didn't care about what other people thought because they had a word from God. Some of you need a word from God. Faith overcomes fear about people's perception. It also overcomes fear about personal security. Mary and Joseph were no longer scared that somebody was going to drag them out into the middle of the town square and stone them to death because they knew that they had a word from God, and the word of God trumped any fear or doubt that they had in that regard. And the last thing, faith overcomes fear about physical possessions. In other words, they weren't worried about what was going to happen to them and what they were going to eat and where they were going to go, because we may not always get what we want with God, but we will always get what we need. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory." Faith focuses on, boy, you got to get this, fill this in. Faith focuses on, as we wrap up right now, faith focuses on the promises of God. But not just the promises, because you can focus on the promise of God, but it's possessing the promises of God. You can say, "Lord, I know what your promise is. I know how you met. I know how you met Abraham, how you met Jacob, how you met Isaac, how you met Moses, how you met Mary, and how you met Joseph. And I just believe that you got a promise." You can focus on that. But until you get to the place where you step out and you possess that promise, where you're taking action, because faith is always about action with the right heart. Until you get to that place, you'll never see the miracle of God. And my prayer is that you see the miracle of God in your life. It may not happen when you'd like for it to happen. It may not happen how you'd like for it to happen. It may be so big that it scares you, but that's not a bad thing, because you can know at that point that it is God, but it'll never happen until we step out in faith. Last week, my prayer for you was all week was, God, may they receive a gift of faith. May they receive a gift of faith. We're talking about the greatest gift this Christmas season, a gift of faith. Well, this week, here's what I'm praying that you receive. You receive a gift of hope. Dreams don't die with God. They die with us. I want you to hear that. Dreams don't die with God. They die with us. And when we align ourselves with God, those dreams will become a reality. Just a reminder, Abraham never saw the fullness of his dream take place in his lifetime. Neither did Mary, neither did Joseph. They never saw the fullness of it. Here's why, because you never know what lies on the other side of your obedience when you step out in faith. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, "Pastor, I know this message was for me. I feel like there's some dreams that have died that God spoke to me a long time ago." I'm just here to tell you that the dream isn't dead, and that the dream of God never dies with him. It only will die with us. And for some of you, God wants to bring a resurrection in your life today. If you're here and you say, "Pastor, I know that that's me, that there's been a dream in my heart that I really feel is from the Lord. I feel like I've bought into the lie that it's not going to happen, whether you believe that you're too old or you're too messed up. I just really believe there's a call of God on some people this morning, that you know that you're a believer, that you've surrendered your life to God, but you've just kind of given up on that dream. And today he's taking what you thought was a dead lump of burned up dream. And in reality, there's just on the inside an ember, and he wants to blow on that and turn it into a burning fire again. If you're here and that's you, I want you just right where you are. Nobody's looking around. I want you to stand up. Some of you need to stand, because there's a dream that you thought was dead that God's going to breathe on today. Come on. If that's you, stand up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Father, I just pray right now for all of those who are standing. Some of you still need to stand. You need to. Father, I just pray right now that you just begin to stoke into a flame the dream that you've given them, that, Lord, that they thought that that it was dead, that they messed it up, that, Father, that they were too old, that circumstances happened, and you know, I lost my family, I lost my job, and I just rebuke that in Jesus' name, and I just pray that there's a spirit of life that washes over them as they know that you are at work. You can be seated. And some of you today, God is knocking on the door of your heart, and you've never had a dream from God. But today you feel this tugging on the inside, and he's knocking, and he's saying, "Surrender your life to me. I want to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you." But if you're here and you say, "Pastor, I know I need to surrender my life to Christ," this is your opportunity. Somebody's going to call you out and drag you up front. I just want to pray with you right where you are. So that you just raise your hand and say, "Pastor, I know I need to surrender my life to Christ." Awesome. Y'all look up here. That means everybody here is serving the Lord. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Let's make a difference in the world around us. What's the dream that God's placed in your heart? It can be as simple as, I really do want to help homeless people. I know that sounds crazy. No, it's not. It may be something that's like, people would go, what? I feel like I can be a blessing and help people with their pets. I don't know, something people would think like, what? Let me tell you, God can use anything. I mean, I love pets, they're delicious. But God can use that. Let God use you. And this is what you'll know, that the best is yet to come. Love y'all, God bless. Pastor Chris.
Thank you, Pastor. What an incredible message this morning we heard from him, right? We've had a great Sunday already. We've gotten to worship the Lord together. We had a great packed out house earlier this morning with our early service. We were able to hear a great word. And just in a moment, we're going to be able to receive our tithes and our offerings. Members and regular tenders.